Turn with me in your scriptures to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This week and next week, we're looking at Jesus' passage here where he says, I am the bread of life. We're going to be focusing on verses today, 41 through 59. We're going to read the latter half of this chapter again, but if you've missed us or we've been gone the last couple of weeks, we're just doing a three-week series called The Bread of Life, Real Food for a New Year. As we start off a new year, I want to kind of take us back to the beginning of what are we feasting on? What are you eating that's truly nutritious in your walk with Jesus, in your walk as being a disciple of Jesus? What are you looking towards? What are you going to feed you and grow you? And I hope that every one of us, that it's Jesus alone. Not Jesus plus this or that or something other than Jesus, but it's just Jesus, because he said, I am the bread of life. And we know that real bread sustains us and gives us a hope and a future and leads us in paths of righteousness. And that only comes through Jesus. Last week we talked about feed on the real bread that lasts. Today we're going to talk about feed on real nutrients. We're going to talk about what are real nutrients in our walk as disciples. What do we really need to be going after? What commands? And then next week we're going to be talking about drink only pure water. And so that's kind of where we're going. But I want to start off today, before we read our text here in John chapter 6, verses 41 through 59. We read it last week, but this is a passage in Isaiah where Isaiah talked, and he said this. He said, this is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them. And I say this because this is the context setting up these passages in John where Jesus talks about, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life. Jesus came to fulfill this prophecy from Isaiah. And that's what I want to focus on, that last sentence where it says, they will hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat. If you remember, Jesus said that, come to me, all who hunger and thirst, and I will fill that need. And so with that, turn with me to John chapter 6, and let's read here. It won't be on your screen, but let's read here. It's a little longer passage of Scripture, but it's always good to read sometimes Scripture in its bigger, longer passages, so we kind of see the context and the big picture of what was being said through the power of the Spirit. And so let's start off in verse 41 here. It says, so the Jews grumbled about him, meaning Jesus, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone who has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of this world is my flesh. Then the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's pray, church. Father, in these next few moments, we just ask for you to illuminate your word. We ask for you, God, to teach us and remind us that you sent your Son, who is the bread of life, the true manna from heaven. And I pray that, God, every one of us would put our 100% trust, our 100% confession and belief in your Son and follow him all the days of our life. And we pray this, Jesus, all in your name. Amen. Amen. So let's start off with the obvious question. Jesus said that his flesh was real food. Are we supposed to eat Jesus' flesh and blood? The answer is no. It's a rhetorical question. It is no, all right? Jesus was not suggesting literally for people to eat his flesh, eat his blood, or he was going to cut off a piece of his arm and feed it to someone, right? This was a metaphorical statement. Jesus was making the connection that he was the embodiment of the fulfillment of the promise, that he wasn't just someone to be teach us how to be morally good. He wasn't a pathway to moralism. Jesus was saying that he is the only path, that he is the only way to truly gain eternal life, and that to believe in him had to be all in. You couldn't just be, oh, I believe in Jesus some, and then over here I don't believe in him. Jesus was saying you have to believe in me 100% to the point that you were willing to completely ingest me, completely follow me in all ways, in all means. He said that he was the true life, true meaning he was the real bread, and he was the freedom from sins and eternal life. And right here in this passage, in verses 52 through 59, the back half, Jesus laid down a gauntlet. He laid down a path. He said, either you believe in me or you don't. You come with me and find eternal life or you don't. Now remember, to the Jews, eating blood would have been against the code, against the law. And here Jesus saying, you've got to eat human flesh, human blood. I mean, this would have been radical. But once again, Jesus was not speaking in reality in the sense of, oh, you have to literally eat my blood. He was saying from a more analogy standpoint, hey, I'm the embodiment. You have to embody everything I am and believe in me with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Now, let me start off with this. We're talking about the bread of life today, the bread of life. So let me ask you this. Have you ever used the wrong ingredients for a recipe before? Yeah, have you ever used, you thought, you were like, well, you know, it calls for this, but I'm going to substitute for this. Or you thought your mom's or dad's recipe was this. You thought, you know what, I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to mix in these things. And how many of you have done that? And or maybe you decided, you know what, the recipe calls for this and this. You know what, I'm not going to trust that chef or that cook. I'm going to make it up on my own. And you baked it, you made it. I don't know what it is if you made that. And then you tried it, you've taken that first bite, and what happened? You're like, oh, this is bad. This is wrong. What did I do? I must have used the wrong ingredients. Or maybe the ingredients were old and stale or something like that. I'll tell you a personal story. When I was 13 years old, we were having our friends over for dinner, my parents' friends over for dinner, and they had come to our house all the time, and my mom said, hey, can you make the green beans? And I thought to myself, I can make the green beans. I've got this. I've got this down pat. I've seen my mom do this 100 times. Reach up there, buy all the spices, get everything in the green beans. I got this. My mom was a nurse. She was working late. My dad was at the place doing welding. He was a welder. He was working late. And so I said, I can get this. So I'm taking care of the green beans. So I get the green beans down, open the can. I grab the ingredient, which I thought my mom put in there. And I'm like, you know what? My mom makes it so good. Well, I'm going to make it extra good. I'm going to put more of it in because I'm 13. I know what I'm doing. So I put it in there, stir it up, break up the ingredients for cooking. We sit down, and my mom's friends are there, and my dad's friends. I mean, they're like kind of aunt and uncle to my brother and I, and we just love having them, and it's so much fun. And we're sitting there, and my mom, we start serving. I mean, we had ham, we had mashed potatoes, we had garlic bread. Oh, and here was time for me to present the green beans. So I get up, I'm 13. I'm putting the green beans on my parents' plates, my brother's plates, and our friends' plates. Anyhow, my mom takes a bite, and she's like, I could tell something's wrong. I thought, well, maybe they're just too good. It's just too, she's like, woo, it's just too good. And then my friends took a bite, and his name was Dave. He's like, oh, what is wrong with these beans? And my dad takes a bite, and he's like, I'm Dan the second, so I'm Danny. My dad goes, Danny, what'd you do? I said, I just made what mom made. And my brother, of course, all little brothers were like, this is horrible. I knew you'd screw it up, you know, kind of thing, you know. Anyhow, my mom asked me, what did you use? I said, oh, I just used right there what you used, Mom. I ran on the cabinet. I grabbed it out. I said, oh, you use cinnamon and green beans. I said, you use the cinnamon, right? And my mom is looking at me like, what? How have I raised this type of son? I said, cinnamon's right there. And right next to it, I didn't see it, was pieces of bacon, the dehydrated bacon and flavoring and ham stock she would put in. I just saw that, and it looked this, whatever it was the same kind of consistency, and I just thought it was the same thing anyhow. So anyhow, we had cinnamon green beans that night, and so my dad got up, and he took the pan, and he goes, everyone put your, scooping back in the pan, just took them over to the trash can, dumped the whole thing out. And so I tell that story is that when we use the wrong ingredients, what happens? It ruins the recipe. And in our walk with Christ, if we want to truly follow Jesus as he is the bread of life, if we use the wrong ingredients, or if we start with the wrong thing, we are going to get far away from Jesus and his calling and his commands for us. But it's an easy thing to do. Sometimes when in our walk with Jesus says this, but we're like, well, Jesus, I don't want to forgive I don't want to hold my tongue today. In our Grown Deeper, we talked about holding our tongue. Well, Jesus says to hold our tongue. But sometimes we're like, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to substitute what Jesus said for this, thinking that we're still going to get to the end result is that we're going to be true disciples of Jesus. Does that make sense? And so just like in the kitchen, when we start with the wrong ingredients, things happen. But in our lives, when we add the wrong things in our life to try to find purpose and meaning in eternal life, it leads us down a bad path. It leads us to a horrible mess. And in Proverbs 14, verses 12 through 13, it reminds us of this. Proverbs says this. It says, "The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." And as this year, we're starting a new year off. We're starting a new year in Jesus, a new year maybe in your job, your home, your life, your marriage, your relationships. There's a way that seems right to us, but it's going to lead to death. And today I want to talk to us about feeding on real nutrients, feeding on those things that are going to help us truly, truly stay connected to the bread of life, that the fresh bread, the freshness of Jesus in our life. And so today's thought is this: feed on real nutrients, the real nutrients. Now, cinnamon and green beans is not going to feed us, right? It didn't feed my family. We threw out the green beans because it was horrible, all because I used the wrong ingredients, the wrong nutrients to try to get someplace. I didn't take time to know, ask my mom, ask someone who was more experienced or had the wisdom, hey, what do you put in the green beans? What's the best nutrients to put in these to make these satisfying, to help our bodies grow, and so forth and so on. So let me just start with this. Two points today. It's a really simple message today, very simple, because real food is very simple, very plain in some degree. But the first is this: what is the basic ingredient that we need in following Jesus here? What's the basis to follow the bread of life, to follow Jesus? I would submit to us today is this: Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise him and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the starting and the main ingredient this year for us. Or it should be. I'll say it that way. It should be for us. If we're truly going to seek Jesus and make him the bread of life and be all in for him, that starts with the fear of the Lord, to know him and follow his commands. Think about this. Where does our world look to for knowledge and wisdom and for life? What does our world look to right now? It looks to what? A podcast, maybe a family member, a political speaker, ancient philosophers, books, business owners, videos, YouTubers, movie actors, you name it. Our world looks for a million things, a million ingredients to add value in life, to add that somehow this is going to give me purpose, meaning. But for the life of a disciple, if you hear today and you say, you know, Dan, I have put my whole hope and faith in Jesus, Scripture reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And out of that knowledge, we know Jesus. We can actually begin to understand his ways, spiritual principles, and spiritual dynamics. Now, Jesus spoke to people in our passage here in John that he was a starting place of real life, that only he would satisfy. Now, it's interesting, Jesus didn't say, I am the bread of life. However, if you want to go over here to the ancient writings of Plato, go ahead and do that. Or if you want to go back to the ancient Roman writers, hey, you can do that. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to begin to find me. No, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the gate. I'm the only purpose. I'm the only way that you're going to encounter wisdom and knowledge and eternal life. And so for us as disciples of Christ, as we start this new year in 2025, is my question for you is he your main ingredient? Is he your starting ingredient? Is the fear of the Lord saying, Lord, you are true and wise. You've created all this that we have. You've created my body. You've given me everything. You've blessed me with my spouse, my family, my home, my job. Are you starting with that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom? Are you starting with, Lord, you have done everything. It's only from you and to you and through you who are all things, as Paul writes in Romans. Are you starting with that? Or are you starting with some other ingredient that is not correct or not going to bring you to this place? Jesus here in this passage, he's reminding the people that he is it. There's nothing else. And are we doing that today? Are we speaking to that? And over in John chapter 10, in a few chapters, Jesus says that. He says, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. Once again, he reminds the people. He says, if you come over the wall any other way, you're not part of this flock. He says, you got to come through the gate. And right here, Jesus is saying, if you don't believe in me, if you don't come through me and start with me, you're not my sheep. You're not my disciple. You're not my child, because everything starts in him. And so as we start this new year, I want to ask this: where is your starting point? Is it through yourself? Is it through some other source or some other ingredient? Or is your new year starting with Jesus, the fear of the Lord, that in him is the starting point to know him and know him deeply and richly? Second is this: what's the recipe? If you get the wrong ingredients, the recipe doesn't matter. But if you get the right ingredients, the recipe matters when we're cooking. Look at the Proverbs chapter 3. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. It'll be in your screen too, but you can turn your scriptures as well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. There we go. The first ingredient is staying in the fear of the Lord and knowing that starts with Jesus. But the recipe for us as disciples is, I would submit to us, it's laid out here in Proverbs chapter 3. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, but let's read it here. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on your tablet. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your produce." And so what is the recipe as we begin this new year? What's the basic recipe for a disciple of Jesus? If we're to start with the fear of the Lord as the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom, then what is the recipe? What do we do with that? How do we live that out in this new year? And I want to pull some things out of this passage here, just real briefly here. Just five quick key takeaways for us. First three is this: keep love and faithfulness at the center of who you are. What's the first part of the recipe for the new year of staying close to the bread of life, Jesus? It's keep love and faithfulness at the center of who you are. Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." And he says, "If you love me, you will follow my commandments." Faithfulness and love is the first part of the ingredient we need to follow this year. Second is this, verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord. It says, trust in your Lord and lean on your own understanding. So for us, I would say, trust in the Lord and not yourself. What's the right recipe for 2025 for you is not to trust in yourself. At the beginning of all wisdom and knowledge with the Lord, why would we look to ourselves? Now, there is wisdom God gives us through general revelation. He's given us gifts and talents, each of you in different maybe skill sets or vocational applications. And there's nothing wrong with human wisdom, but we have to remember that all wisdom starts with God. It all comes from God. He's the one that's given us our brains and abilities to think. So anything we've produced, it ultimately comes from him. So trust in the Lord and not yourself. The third part of the recipe for this new year is this: always give him praise and glory. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." It says, "In all your ways." Church, are you doing that this year? Is the part of your recipe this year, are you giving him the praise and glory in everything? Or are you trying to take some of that glory away from him? But always give him praise and glory. That's the fourth part of the third part of the recipe. The fourth part is this: turn from evil. Verse 7. It says, Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. If we start with the main ingredient, which is the fear of the Lord, it's going to help you and open your eyes and your soul to turn away from evil, turn away from those things that do not bring honor and glory to Jesus. But it's going to help you keep you from the pathway that leads to destruction, as Proverbs 14 says. And lastly, verse 9 is this. What's the fifth part of the recipe? Is this: give generously with your time, talent, and treasure. It says in verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your produce." If we keep to this biblical recipe for knowledge, wisdom, and holiness, we will ultimately desire only real food. And that real food is Jesus, the bread of life. If we start with him and fear him, and then we follow what Proverbs teaches us, because Proverbs is really a book about for living wisely, then man, we're going to encounter Jesus in new ways this year. We're going to be able to stay close to that bread of life, and it's going to help us be all in for Jesus and not turn away to other artificial ingredients or change up the recipe or try to say, "Well, you know, Jesus, you said this, but I can do this." It's going to keep us on that straight and narrow path. And so my thought here as I close is this: for a cross point this year, and in our homes, in our marriages, in your thought life, in your finances, your attitude, the way you speak to one another, your decisions, are you starting with the fear of the Lord this year in 2025? Is that your starting point? And if that is your starting point, then continue to stay in love and faithfulness, trusting in Jesus, not praising yourself, giving him the glory, turning from evil, being generous with your time, talent, and treasure. If you stick to that recipe, man, church, we're going to bake something great. God's going to do something in us. He's going to produce a wonderful table of his blessings that the world's going to see. Wow, these people have been transformed and redeemed by Jesus. They are truly all in for him, and they are truly walking in his power and his might. But as we know, if we turn to fake ingredients, or if we change the ingredients in any recipe, anything in Scripture, if we change it, as Jesus said, if we take anything away from a Scripture and then add something else into it, it leads to destruction and paths of darkness. And there is no other gate that we enter through. And so in today's message, all I want to encourage us is this, is just that feed on the real nutrients of Scripture. Look to the things that Scripture gives us to tell us how to live for him and how to walk daily with him. Don't turn away to other things or other just quick resources or maybe what this pastor said or this Christian leader wrote. Turn to the Word of God, the real nutrients that feed us and keep our soul alive and keep us connected to the one who loves us and the one who died for us. And so that's my challenge today is where are you starting and what recipe are you following today? Is it this or is it through some other gate or pathway that you're trying to get through? In this passage, Jesus, he ends this with saying, you know, I am that bread. I am that manna. I am the embodiment of what you are looking for. And today, as we go out into our own lives, we go out into our weeks, we go out into working, taking care of our families and school and that, is he truly that main ingredient in your life that you're looking for? I hope that he is, but I would ask ourselves today, go out today and ask ourselves, Jesus, are you that true center of my life? Are you the beginning point of my life? Do I turn to you and trust you, the author and perfecter of my faith, or am I looking somewhere else? Am I trying to change the recipe? Am I trying to add this in or sprinkle this in? And I would encourage us today, don't make the mistake of looking at the recipe Jesus gives us and being like so many of them, the people did in his time and turning away and walking away. But we all know sometimes we get nervous to try a new recipe or someone says, hey, try this, it's new, we've never made the ingredients, we've never tasted it, and sometimes we get hesitant, right? We know especially kids get that, oh, I don't want to try that. But if you've not tried any of this or if you're struggling in this, I would encourage you, come to the table, follow this recipe, and give it time, and you'd be surprised when we follow the Lord, he changes the desires of our heart, desires of the flesh, and our desires change to follow him. And soon we begin to crave the real food, the real ingredients, the real commands of Scripture, where Jesus said, follow me and obey my commandments. If you love me, you'll follow my commandments. So with that, let's stand, church, and let's close. And let's ask God to direct our steps and to help keep us on the straight and narrow this year, in this new year. And let's keep him, the bread of life, let's keep him at the focus of everything we do here in 2025. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and God, we just say thank you that you sent your son, the bread of life, and that we have hope, and that he is the good shepherd, that he is the gate, he is the one pathway, that he's the door and the way and the truth and the life. We say thank you, God, that you sent him. And today I pray for every one of us here that, God, we would start with you, that our years and our days and our weeks would start with you, that we would turn to you, and that we had the fear of the Lord before our eyes and in our hearts and our minds. And God, I pray that every one of us, God, would stick to the recipe, God, of trusting in you, leaning not on our own understanding, turning away from evil, being generous, God, praising you always, Jesus, even when we don't see it and we don't feel like it, God, may we give and serve and honor you in all that we do. And we know if we do these things that, Jesus, you would draw near to us and that you will meet us in every need that we have, everything that we need to be provided, you're going to show up. And God, we say thank you for being that God who shows up and who provides for us. And God, go with us today as we go out in your might. Help us to feed on the true bread of life, the only one that lasts, and that's Jesus, your mighty Son. And we pray this all in his name. Amen and amen.